We're going on tonight in our study of the larger catechism, the question number 144, and we will take only a small portion, a bite-sized portion of the psalm of the, it's not a psalm, the answer. Number 144, we are going to take these particular duties required in the ninth commandment. And here they are. They're near the end of the answer, which is quite a few lines. But the end of the answer, you go up three or four lines. We are bound with the duty of discouraging talebearers, flatterers, and slanderers. Very important. We are to have a ministry of discouragement. We are to be discouragers of what? We are to discourage talebearers, gossipers, flatterers and slanderers. And I want us to turn back from this to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, beginning with this matter of tale-bearing, or just having some juicy gossip that you can't restrain yourself from spreading around everywhere. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. Here is the clear command of God. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. These two verses obviously go together. And we are to not only not be talebearers, but those who are talebearers are sinning. And we are not to just be idle listeners to them, but we are not to suffer sin upon them. Verse 17. Rather, there should be a rebuke to those who gossip, those who are talebearers. We have this truth over in the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Very clear there, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse 13. And withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Now, isn't that interesting? Back in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, it said, thou shalt not go up and down. And here, they wander about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers. That is the word that's also translated gossipers, also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. This is very important. Now, what is being shared in these tales, some of these tales and juicy gossip could actually be true. Generally, they are not. But usually they are exaggerations and rumors. The other day I was sitting in the classroom at Master's Hand before our Greek class began. And I mentioned that I wondered if a certain student was ill because he had missed some classes in the weeks past. And another student kindly volunteered the information that particular student I was referring to that had been absent, that one of the younger siblings of that student had informed that student that the family was no longer coming to the co-op. And this, I accepted this explanation, but it turned out to be a rumor, because in just a few minutes, in walked the student in question. So it was an idle tale. It was merely a rumor that started by one that obviously didn't know, probably by a younger sibling. I believe it was a younger sibling that had given that report. And maybe the child didn't know what the Planned parents really were. Or maybe the child started a false rumor just for fun. I don't know. But very serious rumors can bring great harm to people. In March of 1995, the pastor of a large church in Washington State, on a busy Tuesday morning, went into his office. But suddenly, several policemen burst into the building and showed the pastor a legal document, handcuffed him, and took him out to the police car, while other officers sealed off the whole building, and over 100 adults connected with the church were accused of very bizarre conduct. And over the next 8 months, the pastor and his wife were incarcerated, and their 4-year-old daughter was placed in foster care. And while the little girl was in foster care, they administered to her what they called memory therapy. And they were putting things in this child's mind by suggestion that were not in the child's mind before. But it's interesting that some of those church members from those 100 people that were accused, some of those church members during the next 8 months were sentenced, some of them to decades of prison. But then after the 8 months were over, the whole sting operation fell apart, and some children seemed to have spoken slanderous words, rumors against the church, which all proved to be false. All the testimonies had been obtained through what is called memory recovery therapy. Of course, after all the people were released that had suffered in the ordeal, lawsuits against the police, against the courts, and against the psychiatrist were ongoing. Talebearing, gossip, rumor making are wrong and can hurt many people. And they're very clearly sin, because God commands not to go up and down as a talebearer. Augustine's mother was very put out with people who gossiped. She abhorred gossip, and she abhorred slander. And after her death, Augustine, in memory of his mother, and having been trained by Monica, he didn't like gossip himself. And so he had these words carved into the table where all of his guests would sit around the table and eat in his home. And these were the words carved into the table. And they're somewhat poetical. He that is wont to slander absent men may never at this table sit again. And that was a very good motto. If somebody sitting there enjoying the food and fellowship suddenly felt the liberty to start speaking evil of someone who wasn't there, they would be dealt with. Psalm 15 and verse 3. The scripture says, "He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor." I had to make a confession as a 65-year-old in the men's class today. All these years, I have read that word backbite. And, I knew it wasn't good. But I didn't know exactly what it meant. And I sometimes wondered, well, why is this being the word that is often quoted, the scripture often quoted about slander? Well, obviously, and in the second part of it, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. That's very obvious. But backbiting with the tongue. What does backbiting mean? It means to either bite someone's back or either bite them behind their back. And that is biting them by being against them and wanting to bring harm to them behind their back. Biting behind their back. Well, the scripture here in Psalm 15 is asking at the very beginning, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who is it that's going to dwell in His tabernacle? Who is it that's going to have fellowship with God? Who can have fellowship with God? Well, obviously, the ones who have fellowship with God are the ones that are not backbiting with their tongues, are not doing evil to their neighbors, but are indeed loving their neighbors as themselves, not taking up a reproach against the neighbor. Now then, verse 23 of Proverbs, Proverbs 25 and verse 23, the north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. So one way to deal with backbiting or gossip or, slander, not giving a broad smile and enjoying what's being said, but a countenance that is angry. Someone will generally stop their slander or their gossip at that point simply by an angry countenance. Now, in the 9th century, King Alfred, king of Wessex and king of England, had some very severe penalties for slander. The most severe penalty for slander was having your tongue cut out. Not very pleasant, but it was certainly showing the great seriousness of this particular crime of slander. Now, the gossip columnists today, whether it's in the newspaper or in the magazines, plays an important role in this humanistic society. You go in the grocery store, you go to Walmart, you go to Dollar General, and many of the gas stations, and you see the gossip tabloids and the magazines. You know, depraved humanity feeds on scandals, feeds on slanders, feeds on gossip. And especially in the lives of their Hollywood icons, as well as sports stars, politicians, and religious leaders. You understand that ungodly minds gain great pleasure by reading such trash as you see on those newsstands and magazine racks. What a terrible thing. Gossip, tale-bearing, what awful damage they do, not only to those who were spoken about, but to the people who speak them and to the people who listen. We'll have a few more things to say at the end about ways that we can encourage those who might do so in our presence not to do it anymore. But now here we are to discourage talebearers. We are also to discourage flatterers. The scripture says in Proverbs 26, verse 24, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips. Now, there's one you don't use every day. dissembleth with his lips, plays the hypocrite with his lips, and layeth up deceit with him, within him. Verse 25 of Proverbs 26. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Now, flattery, giving compliments that are not genuine and sincere, are sinful flattery. Oh, you look great today. And they've got a bad hair day and their clothes are all disheveled. That's obviously flattery. And it's sinful. It's not true. It's not genuine. It's not sincere. There are some overt and gushy personalities that can't seem to help themselves in giving out flattery. And it even, as they speak, it becomes rather obvious that they're flatterers. There was a bishop in the Church of England. His name was Reverend Beveridge. And he lived by some good principles. In one of them, he said this, "I am resolved by the grace of God to speak of other men's sins only to their faces. I am resolved to speak of other men's sins only to their faces and of their virtues only behind their backs." Now that's good. Speaking of their sins only to their faces and of their virtues only to their backs might help prevent some pride and swelled heads. But there are words of encouragement that we need to give. Plutarch said, "Every man is his own greatest flatterer." Proverbs 25 and verse 27 says, "It is not good to eat much honey." Well, some of us like honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. I want to tell you about myself. Now let's see if we can exhaust this subject. Proverbs 27 verse 2. "Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. A stranger and not thine own lips." It is so easy for us to just give a bragamony about ourselves. Well, let me tell you about me. That's not a good thing, for we are, as Plutarch said, our own greatest flatterers. May the Lord help us. But here we are commanded by God in His Word that we be discouragers of talebearers, flatterers, and slanderers. So slander. Psalm 101, verse 5. "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off." Wow. To slander our neighbor, God promises that we'll be cut off. Before we speak about another, we need to ask ourselves questions. When I get this sudden depraved urge within my heart. You ever have any of those? A depraved urge. A depraved urge in the heart. And they're very common. We have to do something with them. But we need to ask ourselves questions. We need to ask, if I'm going to say something about this person, is it a kind thing that I'm going to say? Is it kind? Then we should ask ourselves, is it true? We still don't have license if it's kind and if it's true. The third question is it necessary? We need to ask ourselves those questions before we start putting down other people. When we get that sudden Adamic urge to say something about somebody, let us ask ourselves, is it kind? Is it true? And is it necessary? And you can add a fourth one. Is it for the glory of God? That's what we're supposed to be doing. It's so easy to play the Pharisee with other people's problems. It's very easy for us to be Pharisees and say something like, "Well, I thought you'd like to know so that you could pray for so-and-so." Okay? Now there it is.
Presenting other people's sins and maladies
in the form of a pseudo prayer request. I heard he's living with his girlfriend. Apparently, he owes a lot of money and he won't pay anything. Somebody told me she's his third wife. You know, it goes on and on. How can we turn away such slander or gossip? Let us be ready to meet it, because, hey, this is a world where people love to talk about other people, and especially to say negative things about other people, because if we can put other people down, it kind of helps us be bolstered up a little bit, makes us feel better about ourselves. Okay. Let us be ready to say, ask some questions. Can I quote you on that? And a lot of people will stop at that one. Can I quote you on that? And then if they don't respond to that, you can say, well, I really don't want to listen to that kind of talk. There was a Puritan pastor who had to deal with a lady in his congregation who was very apt at slandering. And so this is what the pastor said to her one day. As he faced her, he said, do you frequently fall into this fault? She answered, yes, very often. Your fault is great, but God's mercy is greater, I want you to know, said the preacher. I want you to go to the nearest market and purchase a freshly killed chicken still covered with its feathers. And then walk all the way back here, plucking the bird as you walk along. And then, when she got there to him with the chicken with a lot of the feathers plucked out, he said, now I want you to go back and pick up all those feathers that you plucked out and threw. She said, but I can't. I cast them carelessly on every side, and the wind carried them in every direction. How can I recover them? And so it is with your words of slander, said the preacher. Like the feathers, they have been scattered and cannot be recalled. Go and sin no more. Quite a lesson. Now, our brother A.W. Pink has given us some good cautionary tips in regard to discouraging and not participating in slander. He says, be not busy about other men's affairs. Attend to your own business and leave others for God to attend to. Be busy, and this is the thing that the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, was making so evident to Timothy, speaking about how women needed not to go from house to house spreading these tales. Be busy, but be not busy in other men's affairs. Attend to your own business. If we are busy doing what we need to be doing, then we won't have a lot of time to be delving into other people's affairs. And then the next rule he gives is reflect much upon your own sinfulness and weakness. Instead of being so ready to behold the mote in thy brother's eye, consider the beam in thine own. And you know, when we really are honest with ourselves, we have so much to attend to in our own confessions before the Lord and our seeking of Him and endeavoring to grow in grace, that we don't have a lot of time to be reflecting on other people's sins, because we realize they're like we are. And we can have some compassion on them. The next rule Pete gives is shun the company of talebearers and tattlers. Idle gossip is injurious to the soul. It is injurious to listen to it. Shun the company of talebearers and tattlers. And then the last rule he gives here, if others slander you, see to it that you have a conscience void of offense toward God and man, and then it matters not what others think or say about you. And I don't know if it's just a mark of my depravity, but I really haven't cared what other people think about me, what other people say about me. Okay. Now, I probably should have some respect to my dear departed mother and my wife, who don't like me wearing my overalls very often. But generally, I don't care what other people say about me or think about me, because If I can approve myself to God, and if I am not being spiritually offensive, then I'm not going to worry about anything somebody says about me. And I have heard several things said about me over the years, but it's kind of like water on the duck's back. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I don't ever remember any sleepless nights because of something somebody said by the way of slander. Now, I have had some, Brother Hoover said across the road years ago when Jacob and Kelly were getting married, that he and his wife had an agreement that they would not let the sun go down on their wrath, but they'd always make things right before they went to bed. He said they sat up a few nights, you know. Sometimes when people tell us the truth about ourselves, we may toss and turn a little about that. But that's good. So we are, in our duties that we are required to, in the ninth commandment, we are required to be discouragers of talebearers, discouragers of flatterers, and discouragers of slanderers. Now we gathered together this morning, thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ, and we continue to think about Him tonight, even as we had the opening hymn, "Was It For Me?" Yes, what He did, everything He did was for us.